Blog Talk Radio. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant doth not know what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, or appointed you, that you should go out and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. It is important that the words of Jesus are not merely read, but absorbed. The syntax, the structure of the words, how they are written, how they come together to form these magnificent statements, so that we might prosper spiritually from the wisdom of God. It is evident through these words. God is interested, very interested, in heart intelligence. We know that the human heart has 40,000 neurons of its own. We know that the human heart and the human brain share an arcane language that we do not yet understand. It was very recent that we were taught that it was the brain, 1,500 grams of pinkish-gray matter that sits under the vault of the Humility is the heart that begins first. The heart comes together first. As the human being begins to come together. Heart intelligence is primary. We are told that in John chapter 1 that Jesus dwelt in the bosom of the Father, that is that place of intimacy and love. We're told that at the Last Supper, it was John who reclined upon the breast of Jesus. And Jesus raised the little girl, said, "Little one, arise," or "Little lamb, arise." A wonderful and beautiful picture of the heart of Jesus. And so throughout his public ministry, we see his love. Jesus called certain ones to become his disciples. He knew very intimately their personality. He knew very intimately Oida. He knew absolutely what their personalities were like. In John 1, he calls Simon, and he names him Petros, or rock. Peter received his new name at beginning of his relationship with Jesus, because Jesus knew what it would take to develop Peter, where he was going to go with Peter. He knew Peter's calling, Peter's ministry. He loved Peter. These are all archetypes for us to look at, so that we might understand that Jesus is indeed the nation of the love of God. He is God's representative man. He is the Son of Man. He is the Anthropos. He is the Logos. He is the reason of God, the thinking of God, and then the verbalization of the thinking of God. Speech. He is the Logos, the Word made flesh. Comes to us through the power of the Spirit, and he is implanted in the womb of Mary. He is something biologically other or biologically distinctive, in that there is no other like him. He's implanted into the uterus of Miriam. He goes through the human gestation period for 9 months. And there he is in the body of Mary, near her heartbeat, near her heart, depending upon her, being a part of her inner being. Psalm 22 discusses this event. Important to understand the love of God. And we learn who God is. We learn of God's plan for us through his word. Verse 9 tells us, "As the Father hath loved me." Again, our word here is agape. As the Father Father hath loved me. Agape is a noun of action in the Greek New Testament, as is the word faith or pistis. It is also a noun of action. The word is so structured so that there can never be a passive voice associated with this word. There can never be a passivity connected to this word. And notice, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Inasmuch as he has loved me, I have loved you. Can you in my love. Please note that he is in the upper room, the night of his betrayal. He is speaking to his own. This is a time of intimacy. This is a time in which that which he wants them to understand about his heart being given to them in a very intimate place in a very intimate time. They will need the words that he utters here in the near future. They will need these words, saying them. These words will nurture them. His words will feed them. His words of love will enable them to grow. And provide for them a stable foundation. Love stabilizes. Love never trivializes. Love builds up. Love supports. The word agape here means self-sacrificial love or self-sacrifice is the essence of the word. There is no emotional content in this word. It is a word that speaks about giving of one's self. And so this word was chosen by Jesus so that the disciples, that is those who are his most intimate followers, would have this wonderful foundation. In verse 10, it states, if you keep my commandments, the word here, keep, means to watch my entoles, my commandments. And commandments are stated in the imperative. We say the Ten Commandments, that's given in Exodus 20, and some have said that the Ten Commandments are law stated in the imperative, or law from which there is no recourse. They are called the Ten Commandments. They must be done. The word commandment means an order. And again, this word, commandment, cannot be softened into suggestion or something that one might perhaps agree to do. Inherent in the word commandment is the authority of the one who issues the command. So it is important that we tidy up, that we strengthen, that we jettison from our self-understanding as disciples, this benign passivity with regard to the words of Jesus. When we do this, then a new and exciting clarity comes into our hearts about who we are and whose we are. Things become nebulous for us when we are lulled into passivity and inactivity, which, of course, is what the enemy wants, to have us in lockstep passivity, so that we do not become pioneers in opening up new territory for the Word of God. So we do not reshape the hearts of others through our example, so that their heart or the heart intelligence of others do not grow and cannot grow. So it is therefore vital that we jettison the passivity that we have received through religious instruction, not move out as disciples. We move out as disciples through the word that's given to us. Please notice that Jesus taught his disciples with the understanding that they would go out and in turn teach others. They were not taught the word of God so that they would become, they would be lulled into passivity and become a little community that fears the outside and therefore does not grow. It is through engaging life that one grows. It is through engaging life that one understands that God has said, indeed, Jesus said, I will never leave you. If we remain within the nest, if we would remain huddled within the community, then we cannot grow. We are called as disciples in order to live out this great and wonderful message. And indeed, the great cry of the first century, the collective understanding about the ecclesia or the church of the first century was, behold, how they love one another. It was that wonderful heart intelligence that created spiritual prosperity for the believing ones and made them so attractive to those who had not yet come to believe. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You shall dwell in my love if you keep my commandments. Notice the language. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So if I am to keep or watch the commandment, that means the word here, the verb, is therefore my activity must be, we know that in the original text, in the manuscripts, there are very few passive verbs in the New Testament. Very few passive verbs. The verb structures of the New Testament were inspired by the Spirit of God, who knew exactly what the believing community needed in order to be stabilized and to reach spiritual maturity. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide or remain as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, verse 11 is pivotal. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so this word abide in verse 10 is very important. Menete means to remain or to abide within. With the prefix hupo, hupo, menete, or hupo, mino, this word means to remain under. And it is used very forcefully in the Greek New Testament to speak of believers who remain under, who remain steadfast under trial, remain steadfast under pressure, who remain steadfast under persecution, and standing that after God has removed the pressure, that they have the strength and the power to charge forth in victory. So just think of what happened in the lives of the disciples of Jesus when this understanding is taken from them or hidden from them, or they are lulled into this passivity of the health and wealth mantra. They are not allowed to grow, but the believers sit under the tutelage of religious, inspirational speakers instead of sitting under the careful tutelage of well-trained pastor teachers, so that they might grow in Christ, instead of being taught how to go out. 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Developing of one's heart intelligence, of the marvelous, just think of the magnificent life to which we have been called in Christ, to develop heart intelligence, that as we understand how we are loved by Jesus, we understand this experientially because we practice his experiential love. That is, Jesus practiced love with his disciples. And so it is the practitioners of love who grow up in Christ. Jesus does not call us to be theoreticians. Jesus does not call us to develop theories about love. But Jesus called us to be practitioners of love. It is important that we step out of the laboratory, that we step out of the classroom, and into the arena of life. It is imperative that we understand that as we go out, we grow. If we keep his commandments, then we will abide in his love. It is important and imperative that we understand that the practice of love is given to us by Jesus himself. We're not called to go sit and meditate under a tree. We are called to develop heart intelligence that we share with others, that they might come to know enormity of the love of God through us. And you will find that as a result of wonderful and powerful spiritual resiliency, a wonderful appreciation, a wonderful satisfaction, a wonderful sense of well-being, you will find that your brain waves are different. You will find that your heart, strong and powerful, your physical heart, because your spiritual heart is strong and powerful, you will find that a lot of the encumbrances that people have in their lives today are due to sin. To minister, you are able to minister to them in the spirit of humility because you are a practitioner of love and not a practitioner of judging them. People pick up our heart intelligence, our heart energy. They know who we are through our love. We don't even have to say anything. There is almost an intuitive perception about who we are and what we give off through the electromagnetic energy of our bodies. God is operating in the world through us. May we take our mission seriously. God bless you. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.